Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this last Sabbath in March 2026. Welcome to those that are joining us on the phone, those listening to the recording, and those here in the room. And praise God for bringing us safely through another week to another Sabbath, and this is a high Sabbath day, as we will be having foot washing and communion service today. Praise God for his merciful kindness and tender love, and for providing salvation to all those who accept Jesus as their Savior. So welcome, dear ones. And our opening song for today's service is Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lowly and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very dear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very dear.
Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Amen. We've been talking about how near Jesus is to his followers. And he is yoked together with us, right here with each one, all because of Calvary. Well, dear ones, please join with me for opening prayer. Precious Father, we ask that your presence and the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit continue to be abiding guests with us, especially as we go in to this sacred service. Father, we pray that the atmosphere of light and love and joy and peace that surrounds you and your throne will come down and surround each listening heart. We desire rich blessings from above. We claim the promise that the blessings that you pour out will be more than can be received. And thank you, Father, for doing so. Savior, we pray that all of our cares and perplexities, all of our burdens will be put at your feet, that we might have peace and freedom, and to truly rest in your love for us. And dear Spirit, we pray that you will continue to work upon hearts, continue to plant within us the principles of righteousness and truth, that these might become the guide of our life, our thoughts, our actions, our words, our motives. Please continue to correct us, to reprove us, to lead and guide us into righteousness, and grant us the grace, the strength, and the courage to continue advancing upward towards eternal life in Christ. We thank you, dear Godhead, for drawing close, for blessing us, for encouraging us, and establishing us in the faith, and for helping us day by day to reveal Christ more and more. And thank you for being patient with us and long-suffering. We thank you for continuing to speed thy truth around the world, to raise up more laborers and to send them into thy harvest field, and that Babylon is being emptied of souls and your kingdom is being filled with them. And that we're a day closer to this whole great controversy closing up and the end coming. What a wonderful day that will be when sin is no more and eternity in your universe is finally at rest. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So praise God for bringing us to another Sabbath that is a high Sabbath, foot washing and communion. And why is foot washing done first? And why is communion the last service? Now, hopefully you'll gain some insights as we enter into this service. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes that I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1252.htm. So lightministries.com/SDA/ID1252.htm. And if you look at quote number one from John 13 verses 1 to 17, we find where this service of foot washing originates. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Now, none of the other 11 disciples had any problem with Christ washing their feet that they expressed. Only Peter. Peter resisted. And Christ then explained why. So what did all this mean regarding Peter? And what is the purpose for this foot washing service? So let's examine this. We were told that solemnly Christ said to Peter, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. So what did this mean here? We're told in Desire of Ages, page 646 to 651. The service which Peter refused was the type of a higher cleansing. Christ had come to wash the heart from the stain of sin. In refusing to allow Christ to wash his feet, Peter was refusing the higher cleansing included in the lower. So this foot washing service is a symbol of the heart being washed from the stain of sin. And this is something that Christ desires to do for each one of us. So Peter refused this type of higher cleansing. Continuing, he was really rejecting his Lord. So in refusing to be washed from sin in our heart, we're rejecting the Lord. Continuing. It is not humiliating to the master to allow him to work for our purification. The truest humility is to receive with thankful heart any provision made in our behalf and with earnestness to do service for Christ. Like Peter and his brethren, we too have been washed in the blood of Christ, yet often through contact with evil, the heart's purity is soiled. We must come to Christ for his cleansing grace. Peter shrank from bringing his soiled feet in contact with the hands of his Lord and Master. But how often we bring our sinful, polluted hearts in contact with the heart of Christ. How grievous to him is our evil temper, our vanity and pride. Yet all our infirmity and defilement we must bring to Him. He alone can wash us clean. We are not prepared for communion with Him unless cleansed by His efficacy. So our evil or quick temper, our vanity, our pride, our selfishness pollutes our hearts. And we bring our polluted heart to Christ so He can cleanse it. Continuing. This ordinance is Christ's appointed preparation for the sacramental service. While pride, variance, and strife for supremacy are cherished, the heart cannot enter into fellowship with Christ. We are not prepared to receive the communion of His body and His blood. Therefore, it was that Jesus appointed the memorial of His humiliation to be observed first. So while our hearts are full of pride, variance, strife, selfishness, we're not prepared to partake of the bread and the wine. So in order to get us prepared, Christ instituted this foot washing service. That's why it is done first. Continuing. As they come to this ordinance, the children of God should bring to remembrance the words of the Lord of life and glory. Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. There is in man and woman a disposition to esteem himself or herself more highly than his or her brother or sister, to work for self, to seek the highest place. And often this results in evil surmisings and bitterness of spirit. The ordinance preceding the Lord's Supper is to clear away these misunderstandings and to bring man or woman out of his or her selfishness, down from his stilts of self-exaltation to the humility of heart that will lead him to serve his brother or her sister. So this foot washing service is designed to clear up misunderstandings among us. It's designed to break down selfishness, self-exaltation, pride, and to bring into the heart humility, self-sacrifice, and love. And if that occurs, then they're prepared to partake of communion. And continuing. The Holy Watcher from heaven is present at this occasion to make it one of soul searching, of conviction of sin, and of the blessed assurance of sins forgiven. Who's this Holy Watcher? Who sent down from heaven? Who convicts us of sin? It's the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is present at this season, foot washing season, to make it one of soul searching, conviction of sin, and of the blessed assurance of sins forgiven. Continuing. Christ in the fullness of his grace is there to change the current of the thoughts that have been running in selfish channels. The Holy Spirit quickens the sensibilities of those who follow the example of their Lord. As the Savior's humiliation for us is remembered, thought links with thought. A chain of memories is called up, memories of God's great goodness and of the favor and tenderness of earthly friends. Blessings forgotten, mercies abused, kindnesses slighted are called to mind. Roots of bitterness that have crowded out the precious plant of love are made manifest. Defects of character, neglect of duties, ingratitude to God, coldness toward our brethren are called to remembrance. Sin is seen in the light in which God views it. Our thoughts are not thoughts of self-complacency, but of severe self-censure and humiliation. The mind is energized to break down every barrier that has caused alienation. Evil thinking and evil speaking are put away. Sins are confessed. They are forgiven. The subduing grace of Christ comes into the soul, and the love of Christ draws hearts together in a blessed unity. So that's what this foot washing service is designed to do, is to clear away anything that prevents us from loving others as we are loved by God, and bringing each of us together into a blessed unity. That's what this holy watcher sent from heaven is designed to do for each one of us. To bring us into unity, to bring us together into one body of Christ, and to lead us to get along with one another, to fulfill our particular part in the body of Christ, without jealousy, without any kind of reservations for others in the same faith. So our thoughts are not of self-complacency. Look at me. Ooh, someone over there is having problems, but I'm not. It's not of self-complacency, but it's focused upon ourself, centering ourself, for lost privileges, for neglect of God, for forgotten blessings, for lack of brotherly or sisterly love. And it's to bring us to humility. So there's to be no barriers between us and another member here. No alienation, no evil thinking or evil speaking of one another is to find any place in our hearts. Everything's to be forgiven, because the subduing grace of Christ has come to us. The Holy Spirit is working upon our hearts to clear away the rubbish, so that only the love of Christ for us and for others is rooted, and we now can truly love one another as we are loved by God. That indeed is a blessed unity, dear ones. So that's what the Holy Spirit desires to do for each one of us. To bring Christ down and to set him on the throne of our hearts. Which means self has to be dethroned. And the quicker we allow self to die, and Christ to live. The sooner we are Christians. So I pray that as this service is partaken of, that we allow the Holy Spirit to indeed clear our hearts of the rubbish so that the precious pearl of great price, Jesus, can take its place. Let us pray. Precious Father, we thank you so very much for being here in our midst, for sending thy Spirit to be here to work upon our hearts in a miraculous way, to reveal the sins that are registered against our name in the record books of heaven. Thank you for this precious opportunity of recognizing, confessing, and asking forgiveness for these sins, for we do not want anything to hinder Jesus from fully taking the throne of our hearts and controlling our lives with his precious love and righteousness. And thank you, dear Spirit, for working on our hearts in such a marvelous way. Father, please forgive us for our lack of seeing these things sooner. Forgive us for clinging to anything that we think is precious, but you recognize as sin. Help us to not try to find some excuse to justify clinging to our quick temper or our unrighteous anger or anything that is founded in selfishness. And thank you for thy divine power and grace to root it out of us. We desire Jesus. We desire his love and righteousness to fill us. We desire the living water that he brings to flow out from us to others. And we need your help. Thank you for providing it to us. Thank you for allowing us to come up ever higher. And thank you for allowing your love to fill us, to flow to others, especially to each member, and for uniting us together as one. For this we plead and pray. And thank you for making it a reality in all of those who humbly submit to the Spirit working in their heart. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, dear ones, let us take the next 20 minutes to allow everyone to have the foot washing experience and then meet back here at 1:30 for communion service. So 20 minutes, dear ones. Are there any that have not yet finished foot washing? If so, please let me know. All right. So that was the foot washing service and why it's done before communion. But the communion service is altogether different than foot washing. And for those that'd like to follow along, it's the very same link, id252.htm. And now we'll enter into the communion part of the service. So what is this communion service? What does it entail? And what type of atmosphere should we have when we partake of this service? And we're told from Desire of Ages, page 659 and 660. But the communion service was not to be a season of sorrowing. This was not its purpose. As the Lord's disciples gather about his table, they are not to remember and lament their shortcomings. They are not to dwell upon their past religious experience, whether that experience has been elevating or depressing. They are not to recall the differences between them and their brethren. The preparatory service, or the foot washing service, has embraced all this. The self-examination, the confession of sin, the reconciling of differences has all been done. Now they come to meet with Christ. They are not to stand in the shadow of the cross, but in its saving light. They are to open the soul to the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness. With hearts cleansed by Christ's most precious blood, in full consciousness of his presence, although unseen, they are to hear his words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you," John 14:27. So as we partake of the bread and the wine, we are to do so fully conscious that Christ's presence is here with each one of us, saying unto us, "Peace I give you, I leave with you." Continuing. Our Lord says, "Under conviction of sin, remember that I died for you. When oppressed and persecuted and afflicted for my sake and the gospel's, remember my love, so great for you that I gave my life. When your duties appear stern and severe and your burdens too heavy to bear, remember that for your sake I endured the cross, despising the shame. When your heart shrinks from the trying ordeal, remember that your Redeemer liveth to make intercession for you." So this paragraph is talking about what we're going to go through after we've partaken of the communion service. So Christ is here now to give us his peace. He's giving it to us now, and he's leaving his peace with us after this service is over. So when we now, in the future, are convicted of sin, and the devil comes in to try to get us to believe that God no longer wants to have us as his child, we're to recall that Christ died for us to save us. If we're being oppressed or persecuted, we're to remember that Christ gave his life. He was persecuted for us. When our duties and responsibilities appear too severe or our burdens too heavy to carry, we're to remember that Christ carried the cross for you and me. Or when our heart draws away from the tribulation that we see coming, we're to remember that Christ is living and making intercession for us. So we celebrate communion four times a year. But the peace that Christ wants to give us is from today on to the next time we have communion service. It's to carry us for the next 3 months. So no matter what we may go through from today afterwards, we're to remember that we're not forsaken, that Christ lives, is with us, is using us, has not forsaken us, and his peace is with us. And with the peace of Christ with us, knowing that he's here, united with us, we can endure anything. We can go through anything. We can have the faith that never doubts. That's what this communion service is designed to do for us. Not just a Sabbath afternoon of peace. Peace for months. But there's more that this communion service is designed to do. Continuing. The communion service points to Christ's second coming. It was designed to keep this hope vivid in the minds of the disciples. So the communion service is not just to help us get through the future. It's to point us to the culmination of the gospel, which is the second coming of our Savior. So this is a high Sabbath day because we're celebrating communion. And we're praising God for the peace of our Savior that endures within us from now onward. Which then culminates in the coming of our Lord. And the communion service is designed to keep his coming vivid in our minds. Continuing. These are the things we are never to forget. The love of Jesus with its constraining power is to be kept fresh in our memory. Christ has instituted the service that it may speak to our senses of the love of God that has been expressed in our behalf. There can be no union between our souls and God except through Christ. The union and love between brother and brother or sister and sister must be cemented and rendered eternal by the love of Jesus. And nothing less than the death of Christ could make his love efficacious for us. It is only because of his death that we can look with joy to his second coming. His sacrifice is the center of our hope. Upon this we must fix our faith. So that's what the communion service is designed to do. To lead us to be joyful and happy that Christ is coming back to take us home. And he gives us his peace that makes any trial and tribulation endurable because we know he's there with us. We're not forsaken. He's there with us, and his sacrifice is the pledge that he is here with us. And if Christ is with us, then Christ is with others that have him as their Savior. So Christ in us and Christ in you. Isn't that the hope of glory? The hope of eternal life? And if you have that hope and I have that hope, then we're united. Christ is my Savior and he's your Savior. I love him, he loves you, and thus I love you too. Whoever my Lord loves and trusts, I do too. when we have that kind of union and love between brother and brother and sister and sister, it can be rendered eternal. And we can both look forward with joy to our Savior's soon return. So foot washing is preparatory to this service. And this service is to fix in our heart not just the joy and the peace for this afternoon, but for eternity. May we open our hearts to receive it, dear ones. So that's the purpose of communion. And now let us take a short break and please get prepared the bread. And go ahead and pass it out, but do not partake of it. Do not eat it. And then let us come back here in about 3 minutes. So at 1:45, let us return. And then we'll enter into partaking of the bread first. Before we partake of the bread, please bow your heads with me. Precious Father, we thank you so much for developing the plan of our salvation. Thank you, dear Savior, for carrying out your part in this great plan. And thank you, dear Spirit, for taking this plan and making it effectual in our lives to transform us from sin to righteousness. From death to life, and from selfishness to self-sacrifice. And thank you, dear Savior, for the great promise that you have given your life. You're no longer in the grave. You're resurrected. You're our high priest and intercessor before God right now. And soon you will be coming to take all of those who have joined you in self-sacrifice home to be forevermore with you. Help us to keep this goal in mind, for to me to live is Christ. In thy precious name we pray. Amen. We're told in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And now please go ahead and eat the bread. Amen. And now let's take the next 2 minutes and go ahead and pass out the unfermented grape juice. But please do not drink it. So go ahead and pass it out, and we'll be back in 2 minutes. And please join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this great plan of salvation. We thank you, dear Savior, for not just sacrificing your body, but also spilling your blood, that we might only not only partake of your righteous life, but also have the cleansing of our past sins, and thus enabled through you to truly be righteous as if we had never sinned at all. Thank you for loving us enough to give your life. May we also love you and others enough to give our life if necessary. Thank you so much for this loving and merciful example. And please continue to work upon our hearts that everything hindering us from exemplifying your love through us and our love combined with you for others. And thank you for making it reality. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." And now go ahead and drink the grape juice. So this communion service is to be done as oft as we desire. And we perform this service about four times a year, once every quarter. And it's to be done in remembrance of Christ's great sacrifice on the cross for you and me and others. But more than that, in verse 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." And that's why this communion service is different than foot washing. Foot washing is repentance for sin. Communion is celebrating the fact that Christ has died to save you and me so that he can come back and take us home. So we can look forward with joy to Christ's second coming, because this service points us to his soon return. And so it is a time for joy. It is a time for appreciation, for gratitude, and for looking forward to Jesus coming again. Now we're also told that when they had finished the Lord's Supper, they left the upper room and went to the garden, and they were singing a hymn as they went. So let us end this joyous service with a hymn. And this hymn is, "Are You Ready for Jesus to Come?" The theme of the Bible is Jesus and how he died to save men. The plan of salvation assures us he's coming back again. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you faithful in all that you do? Have you fought a good fight? Have you stood for the right? Have others seen Jesus in you? Are you ready to stand in your place? Are you ready to look in his face? Can you look up and say, this is my God? Are you ready for Jesus to come? Don't cling to the world and its treasure. This earth is soon passed away. Oh, give him your love without measure. He's calling you today. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you faithful in all that you do? Have you fought a good fight? Have you stood for the right? Have others seen Jesus in you? Are you ready to stand in your place? Are you ready to look in his face? Can you look up and say, this is my God? Are you ready for Jesus to come? I pray that each one of us are, dear ones. But I also pray that the peace that Christ has given us and will leave with us through this service will continue to be yours until the next communion service. Don't lose that peace. Under conviction of sin, remember that Christ died to save you and is interceding for you right now. That should give you peace. That should give you joy and appreciation. That should rise you up from the degradation of sin and plant your feet on that solid rock. Don't let the devil take you off that solid rock. Don't let him steal your peace. Cling to Jesus. Look up, because that's where you find your strength, your Redeemer. Please join with me for closing prayer. Precious Father, what a joy it is to know that through Jesus we can commune directly with you. Jesus is our mediator. He's the one that connects us, fallen human beings, with the infinite God. And thank you, Father, for loving us enough to provide this way of communication, of communion, of salvation, for providing Jesus. And thank you, Savior, for your love for us in carrying it out and becoming our mediator and our high priest and our intercessor and our deliverer and our elder brother and our best friend. Thank you for becoming our beloved. And we are your beloved. Thank you for being yoked with each one individually and providing this peace, this joy, this strength, this love, this union, this companionship, this covenant. Thank you for being faithful. And help us to keep our eyes fixed on you and grow more and more into your image. For to me, to live is you, is Christ. Thank you for making that a reality through thy Spirit. And thank you, Spirit, for your long suffering with each one of us. Thank you for your encouragement, for the grace, the strength, the courage, the endurance, for the reproof and correction when necessary, for the humility, for the decision to crucify self and to follow Jesus. Thank you for making it effectual, possible in our lives. And thank you most of all that our Savior is coming soon and we're going home. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, dear ones. Praise him indeed. Are there any questions or thoughts or comments or insights or testimonies that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
You, dear brother, for a beautiful service. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And praise the Lord indeed. And it's somewhat of a tradition here to sing this song after communion. And this song is, You Will See Your Lord A-Comin'. It's a pretty old song. It was sung back in the mid-1800s. The verses are worded differently than the song that they sang in the mid-1800s. But the tune is the same. And who would like to start us out?
You will see your Lord coming, you will see your Lord coming, you will see your Lord coming in a few more days. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
You will see the saints arising, you will see the saints arising, you will see the saints arising. In a few more days, then we'll travel to the city, we will travel to the city, we will travel to the city in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
Then we'll shout our sufferings over, we will shout our sufferings over, we will shout our sufferings over in a few more Then we'll spend eternity. We will spend eternity. We will spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music. Hear the band. The band of music, which is sounding through the air.
You will see your Lord the coming. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet. You will see the saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city. Then we'll shout our sufferings over. Then we'll spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music, which is sounding through the air. Amen.
Amen. And that sound of music is the three angels' messages connected with the fourth angel's message, the loud cry. And that message unites together as one, one in Jesus. And it is indeed sounding through the air. It's filling this earth with the glory of God, with the plan of salvation. And soon as the waters cover the sea, it will fill the earth. And every nation, kindred, tongue, and people will be able to make that all-important decision for Christ or for the beast. And then the end will come. So just a few more days, dear ones. And our God will come. And what a wonderful day that will be. Dear ones, I pray that this has indeed been a high Sabbath for you. I pray that the love and the peace of Jesus has filled your heart. Hold on to that love and peace. Never let it go. Never let Christ go. And we look forward to being back in fellowship with you again. Until then, dear ones.
Uh-oh. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.